been put together to form one new word. There's a word from very old English, which is a word which means home. And it is still used today to mean home, but I can only think of one example where that word is used in that way. And it's in relation to pigs. When we say that they live in a sty. Very old word. And there's another old word, which is quite an old-fashioned word now. And it's one that we're very familiar with, but we probably have lost some sense of its meaning. It's a word which means to care for and to look after. And so if you go to visit someone in hospital, you will go to a place where they are cared for. If you work in a hospital, as some of our own people do, you might actually be in charge of a place where people are cared for. It is a ward. Many years ago, sometimes wealthy people would have a younger person put under their care, and they would refer to them as their ward. So we have these two old English words, a sty, which actually is a word meaning home, and a ward, to care for. And that's the origin of our word steward. The home cared for. And so one who is a steward is the carer of someone else's home. That's the origin of the word. Now, I mentioned before that in a few weeks' time, we're going to be beginning to look at the life of Joseph. So I'm obviously not going to say too much about that tonight, except just to remind you, that if you're familiar with the story, you'll recall this. In Genesis 39, we find Joseph, now as a slave in Egypt, put into the care of a man called Potiphar. And Potiphar becomes so impressed with this young man that we read there in Genesis 39:5, "So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had." Joseph had been made a steward of Potiphar. And Potiphar handed over all the day-to-day concerns for his household, and he made them Joseph's concerns. He handed over to him certain aspects of his own authority in order that Joseph himself could take those things on board and run the household for him. So Joseph finds himself as the custodian, if you like, of what was probably a wonderful house. None of it was his, but all of it had been given to him for him to take care of it. And of course, Potiphar is still there, living under the same roof. And so Joseph needs to do a very good job. But Potiphar has every assurance in himself in Joseph's ability. And that's a great example of what a steward is. Someone else's property has been given to you, and now you must care for it. So the steward actually is in a position where he has much, but none of it is his own. It belongs to someone else. And he is accountable to that person who has put him in that position. And so it's with that picture in mind that the Bible calls us stewards. So one example of that, it can be found in 1 Peter, and in chapter 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Peter says this, "As each one has received a gift." So we've been given something which isn't ours, but something has been put into our care. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And so as Christians, we are stewards of something. And it's that good thing that God has given to each one, and we are to manifest it to one another. And we're to deal with what God has given us. And that parable that we read in Matthew 25, a parable that Jesus himself taught, we have there a really good and simple example of what it is that a steward ought to be. Because in the opening verse of that parable, in verse 14 of Matthew 25, we read there that he called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So these servants are being put into the place of stewardship because the master of the house is going away and he needs everything to continue to run in his household. If he was an MP, he's probably going to put it all on his expenses account. But he's going away and he needs things to be continued. He can't allow things at home to go to rack and ruin. What's he to do? I'll place it all in the hands of my servants. Give them that which isn't theirs, but they would use on my behalf. And when I come back, they're accountable to me for what I've given them. Well, that immediately helps us to understand what the Bible teaches is our position together with God. That to each one of us, he's blessed us with things which are not ours, but he gives them to us and he asks us to use them for his benefit. And as we saw in Peter, for the benefit of one another is included in that. So we are to accomplish something which benefits the master together. We're stewards together. We're to use God's gifts for God and his people. And so, seeing how the Bible presents this to us, we should see this as a great encouragement. Because this isn't just the people in charge of the church cracking the whip over their heads, saying, come on, work harder. It's not that at all. Because the thing that we're all called to deal with, you and me, it's not the elders to give you that you're stewards of. It's not the elders to whom you're accountable. Because I'm in exactly the same position as you. This is something that all of us corporately find ourselves accountable to God himself. And Jesus himself taught this parable for his people that we might understand better what it is to be a good steward of the things that he has given. And he himself is the one who says that he will call us to account for what we've given. So, let's have a think. What is it that God has given us? Now, in the parable, you'll notice, won't you, that each of those servants was given a different amount. How much you're given is not your choice. How much you're given is not my choice. How much I'm given is not my choice, and how much I'm given is not your choice. There's no squabbling amongst these stewards as to how much each one has been given. And in that, they set us a good example. There's to be no squabbling, no contest, no competition as to who's been given what. Each one is simply satisfied to receive that which the master has given them. And that is to be our attitude together as God's people. Each one happy to receive that which God has given. And then in the parable, it shows us that two of those stewards used what God has given and did well with them. And so what we see is that it's not how much you're given that is the important thing. It's what you do with what you're given that's the important thing. We see that when the master returns, those two stewards who have used what they've been given well, both of them come back to the master and they each have a different amount to bring. The one who was given the most comes back with the most. The one who was given less comes back with less. But here's the important thing to note. When the master addresses each of them, he says precisely the same thing. The master makes no distinction between the one who brings back 10 and the one who brings back 4. He says exactly the same to both. Verse 20. The one who received 5 comes back with his 5 plus the 5 that he's made. Verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22. The one who received 2 comes back with 4. Verse 23. It's exactly the same as verse 21. It's exactly the same. So here we have a number of great encouragements already for us who are stewards. That as these stewards come back with their different amounts, because they were given different amounts in the first place, both stewards receive exactly the same welcome, exactly the same praise, exactly the same amount of joy in their master. And that's a wonderful thing for me to read in God's word. Because it shows me that maybe there is one over there. I'm not pointing at anyone in particular. Or maybe you're over there or in the middle and you've only got one thing. And maybe there's another. And they seem to be able to do everything. The person who has just the one thing that they can do, if they use it well to the Lord, they will receive exactly the same welcome when the master returns as the one who had much. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but you hear of certain Christian people, and they've written so many books, and they've been in so many pastorates, and they've got so many thousand people in their congregation, and they preach at this conference and at that conference, and they've had so many views on YouTube, and the list goes on and on and on. And then there's little old me and little old you, and we'll probably never be on YouTube. Probably that's a good thing. We're never probably likely to write a book. We're probably never going to speak at a conference, or if it is, it won't be much of a conference in the eyes of some, and so on and so on and so on. And we can find, can't we? Or is it just me? We look at some of the people that God has used and we thank God for them, and we're so grateful for the ministries that they have and for the very much good to God's church that those folks do. And can't we think sometimes, I can't match them? And yet, the promise in God's word is that if you are faithful with what God has given you, you will receive no less a welcome from Christ. No less. Just as good, just as faithful, just as welcome. That's a great encouragement to me. I hope it is to you. But the one who gives receives back in this way. That should be a great encouragement. Now, in the rest of our time, I want us to consider a few things. What is it that we have that we might all have in different measure that we can all use for God's glory? What is there that God has given each one of us that we can all use fully for Him? Let's think just about a few of the things that we might put on that list. I have a book on my bookshelf, several books actually, with this man's name on, the man I'm thinking about. Some of you will have this name on your bookshelves too. His name was Robert Murray McShane, and he was a man who achieved much in a very short lifetime. And he was a man that didn't live into his 30s. And yet he achieved much for the Lord in the few years of ministry that the Lord gave him. Yesterday, we had Jeff Thomas standing in the pulpit. And he's notched up 45 years and still going. And there's any number in between. And you and I can probably bring to mind some grand old saints going well beyond their 70th, 80th, even 90th year perhaps, and still serving the Lord. All of us have a life being given to us by God. Every life is a gift from God. None of us knows how long our life will be. All that we know is that all of us have lived this long, up to now. Beyond that, we don't know. There's a great age range represented here this evening. The age range must be, I don't know, not counting the children, just the people in this room, must be close to 70 years. From the youngest to the oldest, close to 70. God has given you the gift of your very life. Some of us will live short lives. Some of us will live long lives. But will you live a life that counts for God? He's gifted it to you. He's entrusted it to you. Will you do that which is of benefit to the one who gave it to you? How will you live your life? How do we use our time? God grants us 24 hours every day without fail. Every day, same. So gracious. 24. 24. 24. Goes on and on. Never changes. He never says, no, today you're only having 10. He never says, now, tomorrow you've got 30 to fill. It's insane. Every day. We've no excuse, really, have we, about how well we use our time. We know exactly what's coming every day. It's not like we've no idea how many hours we're going to get tomorrow. What are we going to do? How are we going to plan? We know. You know tomorrow you've got 24 hours. Tuesday, you've got 24 hours. Wednesday, you've got 24 hours. Thursday, you've got 24 hours. Do you know? How well do we use our time? How are we thinking? Even this evening when we go home, will we pause even for 5 minutes and think, how will I use my time for God this week? He's entrusted me with all this time every day. And I know about it in advance. I know it's going to be there. It's not like it sneaks up on me by surprise and I'm not prepared for it. It's there. How will you use that for His benefit this week, next week? Do we even stop to consider it? How about our money? Now, this is closer to the situation in the parable, of course, because the talents represents some kind of monetary value that the master had given to these stewards that they were to put to work. We read there, don't we, that in verse 16, he traded with them. So there's some kind of monetary value, some kind of marketable value about these things that they've been given. They can make them work so that they can grow. Well, how much money do you have? You see, it doesn't matter how much money you have, but what will you do with it? How will you use it for the Lord? It doesn't matter whether you earn £10,000 a year or £110,000 a year. How will you use your money for the Lord? Now, first of all, of course, do you at least follow the biblical principle of tithing your money so that you give to the Lord's work on a regular basis? So that the work of the local church to which you are committed, especially if you're a church member, that you give that which you have said you will give when you first became a member, so that the work of the Lord can continue. But it's not just about tithing, is it? It's about every other item of expenditure that we go through during the course of a week or a month or however you do your finances. How can this money best be used for Him? What else do I have after I've put my tithe to one side? Of course, in the Bible, there were tithes and offerings. And the offerings could be quite substantial sums. How will I use my money as best befits Him? One of the things that really impressed me when we first started attending Belvedere, one of the things that really impressed me was the number of people within the church who were prepared to give up a week, 2 weeks of their paid holiday to run Holiday Bible Club. They were prepared to give up a week, 2 weeks, so that they could go out on beach mission and tell people the gospel. And they thought nothing of it, because it's all the Lord's, and it's to be used as best benefits Him and His people. And they would gladly give it. And one of the things that's really encouraged me is that there's been special times on different occasions when we've had to make special appeals for funds for some urgent need. And God's people, you've given. And very often with great generosity. But aside from those big things and those obvious things, in all our daily dealings as God's people, are we remembering every time you get your checkbook out, this is the Lord's money? Is this the way it best fits His purposes? Every time you put your hand in your pocket and get out your loose change, this is the Lord's money. He's given this to me. He's entrusted it to me. I'm a steward of this. Am I making best use of it? Every time you put your card in the machine and put your PIN number in, is this the best use of the Lord's money? Is that the way we think? Is that kind of embedded into us? Because one day the Lord is going to call me to account. It won't be the church that calls me to account. It won't be the elders that call me to account. It's going to be my Saviour calls me to account for how I'm using this. Because we're stewards. And what about the different gifts that God gives? He gives gifts. We have to believe that. It says in the Word that God gives gifts to His church so that we might be equipped for the works of ministry that we need within the life of a growing church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, we're studying 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings. So this is a chapter that at some stage in the months ahead, God willing, we'll get to and we'll be able to look at in considerable more detail. But let me just read a few verses to remind you. If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you'll know these verses quite well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and so on and so on and so on. All given. What gift has God given you? What is it? Now, it doesn't matter if it seems to be, on the face of it, something quite insignificant that you can't really do except in private. It doesn't matter. What is it that God has given you that you may use for His glory, for His benefit and the benefit of the Lord's people? And are you using it? That's the thing. What is it that God has given, and will you use it for Him? One final thing that we can say that the Lord has given us. He's given us his word. And He's given us the gospel that's contained in it. How will we use this? Are we good stewards of the word of God? Now, those of you that have brought a Bible with you, whether it's in book form or whether it's contained in some little electronic gadget, which is becoming increasingly popular, whichever form your Bible's in, when you walk home with it this evening, what kind of steward with this book will you be during the course of the week? Or will next Sunday morning be the very next time that it's opened? What kind of steward will you be with the Word of God? He's entrusted it to us. For those of us in pastoral ministry, one of the aspects of being a good steward of this book is that other people are instructed that they might be able to take it and pass it on down the generations. And we praise God that we still have it today, because He's achieved that for us. But what kind of steward are we with the Word of God? What kind of steward are we with the Gospel? God's entrusted these things to us in order that we might put them to work in a way that pleases Him. You see, Christ isn't concerned with the question, how much did I give you? What He's concerned with is, what have you done? Now, stewardship implies work. The two stewards that received this great commendation from Christ, they put their talents to work. There's no place for a lazy Christian. There's no place for a slovenly steward, because the one who refused to work and the one who was slovenly and lazy, well, what happened to him? He was cast into outer darkness. Why? Because he proved that actually he was no steward at all after all. And so he was cast out. Everyone who is a true steward will put these things to work. And the great challenge for us is to recognise that we are these who have been put in, have what God has given to us is put into our care. It doesn't belong to us, but it's something that God has given. So many things that God has given us that He puts into our hands, and He says to each one of us, now use it. Now use it. Now use it for His glory, for the good of His people. One day He's coming back. And if you think maybe, well, it's all right for you, Ian, saying about this, but listen, I'm told in the Bible that in the position that I'm in, I'm going to face a double inquiry. Well, that's food for thought for me. Even if what I've said isn't food for thought for you. Christ has made us stewards. He's placed into our hands so many good things that we might use for His glory. He longs that we would use them, put them to work, that every single one of us might hear exactly the same commendation. Exactly the same commendation from the mouth of the Saviour. Good, faithful servant. Welcome.